woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. This is Matt Weber aboard with his assistant, Mr. Jack Silverman. We have S&P futures down 950. They were down 1550 last night. They've been kind of creeping back a little bit. We got Dow futures down 79, NASDAQ futures down 35. So down again. We got oil up a little bit, but oil's still $54. 10-year yield 2.10. I think that's another new low. And we got gold rallying another $10. So we got gold. Know that I'm on here. We got Trump in London. He's already insulted the mayor of London before he even landed. Strange goings on. Do we have Frank?
Yes, you do.
Hey, Frank, how are you? And we have all kinds of problems.
I'm good.
We have all kinds of problems in the fields, which we're going to talk a little about today. We're going to have Stephanie back at 7 o'clock, so that should be fun.
Awesome. That's exciting.
She was off doing life's work, having a baby. And now the little one is hopefully old. We won't be hearing from her during the show, but we'll see. Maybe we will. She'll be her first time.
That's life. It's no big deal.
It's no big deal. How are you? And what you were doing some serious field inspections on your way back and forth to South Bend, I hear.
Well, yeah, off of Interstate 80 and Interstate 94, you know, there's alternate ways to go. You've gone all the different ways, U.S. 20, State yeah. Road 2. And it's amazing how little is planted or even plowed in Indiana right now. The South Bend Tribune, Saturday morning's paper, said that the number of acres, corn acres planted, is at 24% right now. Last year it was 98% at this time.
To be fair,
it's supposed to rain. It rained on Saturday night. It's supposed to rain on Tuesday. Puddles of water in every field. So it raises the specter of crop insurance and something they call prevent planting, where they get insurance based on when they plant their corn or the soybeans. Prevent planting means that, and I'm going to quote somebody, prevented planting means it's a failure to plant an insured crop with the proper equipment by the final planting date designated in the insurance policies. And it depends on the area of the country. So, for example, the prevent plant date for Illinois, where I've noticed there's lots of corn not planted, the prevented date is June 5th.
So we're very close.
And for soybeans, it's June 15th. So, and
I would have guessed you
beyond that, it gets very complicated.
Well,
but it's going to impact corn prices, soybean prices, because if you switch from corn to soybeans, then soybean prices are going to go down. I've listened to people talk about this, and it's always ends with, and call your crop insurance agent
yep.
for questions you may have. But the fact of the matter is that there's no planning taking
place. So what if...
No.
So what if there's no crap? The guy just says it's too late. I'm not going to want to plant hay or something.
That I don't know. That'll drive corn prices up, I would think. It might. It drives soybean prices up. But the problem is our biggest purchaser of crops isn't buying from us right now.
Right.
They switched their buying to...
Well, but they're the biggest buyers of
Brazil.
Soybeans.
They're and the question is, will they ever come back to us, even if there is a trade agreement?
Well, they're the biggest buyers of soybeans. I don't think they are of corn.
Okay.
But corn, and most of the corn is a feed crop. You know, I'm sure they buy some of that, too, because they're going to feed animals over there. But, you know, the good news we have, even though you're right, I drove out to Orleans Saturday night. I was supposed to go to South Bend. I'm going, no way I'm going in this weather. It was pouring so hard that there was, the standing water couldn't run off the road fast enough. It was standing, it was coming down so hard. It was really something. And, anyway, the good news is I think most of those guys with the equipment you have today, you can plant the whole place in probably 24 hours. I mean, if you want to. I mean, those machines are pretty awesome. And they work all night. They got the lights the whole bit. It's not like they can't go pretty fast.
GPS tracking, so
yeah.
They know exactly where they are down to the inch in the field.
Yeah, our guys are the best and most mechanized, but to get 200 bushels an acre this year might be, and most of those guys in the good spots now are coming in at 220, 225, which nobody thought anybody ever could, but they are. And, there's different seeds that take different lengths of time, but I wonder what happens with the crop insurance if you never plant, right? Because the way it works out, some people plant even though they know they're going to lose money because they can make a contribution. This is, again, gets into variable cost analysis, which I know nobody in the world knows or cares about anymore, but even if you're going to sell the corn at $3.50, you may need to get $4 to actually make a profit. But if you get $3.50 and your variable costs are $2, even if you're paying $2 a bushel for rent, you only lose, 50 cents a bushel rent wise rather than $2, right? So a lot of times people are going to plant even if they think they're going to quote lose on an all in basis because their variable cost, or at least they call it a contribution to fixed, right? How was that for a term from 50 years ago?
Wow.
Yeah.
I must be talking to an old cost accountant.
Yeah, well, that's what learned some of that at University of Chicago. We did a lot of that at I didn't really learn that much of it in school. I did a lot of it at Pullman. I was the guy who was in charge of the capital expenditures, and you always looked at how much something actually cost you versus fixed or your overhead or whatever. Because I mean, that's sort of the way you look at things, and it always bothers me when guys are in Washington and are quizzing these drug guys, and they don't. And, how much does it cost? Well, we got all this, no. How much, on a variable cost basis, does that pill cost you? Well, you have no idea how much we have the overhead. I don't care about your overhead. How much does it, they never really pin the dudes down, and the dudes don't want to get pinned down. Because the bottom line would be, well, the pill costs $1 and you're charging $800 for it, type of thing. So.
And when they try to pin them down, when somebody has half an idea about what's happening, and that's with either party,
yeah,
being the questioner, all of a sudden, the questioner is accused of being partisan.
Right. Oh, yeah. Or beating up on the guy or something.
Right.
It's like when you actually ask Janet Yellen how much she paid for the mortgages. she can't pay.
Exactly.
She'd be selling.
So, no, it's... And then there's the additional problem that a number of them had spread hydrogen in anticipation of planting.
Right.
Because you use a lighter equipment to spray that hydrogen on, and now there's hydrogen leaching, and they're going to lose that investment.
Well, yeah, if you plant it and you got more rain, you lose your seeds and everything. So when people talk about corn and prices. As a matter of fact, some of my buddies were in from a reunion that I never went to. I never got to, but. We were talking about some of the grain prices last night, Frank, and I was quoting you, in fact, and saying, I actually gave you credit. Frank's going to be on tomorrow morning. We're talking a little about grains. I said, they said, well, the prices are somewhere. And I said, well, okay, now when you talk about price, you have to talk about where you are, things called basis risk, and everything. What the hell is a basis risk? I said, it's you know, corn might be, call it $5 a bushel, which of course these guys would love it if it was. But corn in your backyard in Nigeria isn't $5 a bushel, right? It's a long way from New Orleans. So it's all about getting it there and all of the transportation. That's all on you. You know, that's why the guys in the
storage.
Yeah. That's why the guys in the, what's it, the Permian Basin down in Texas. I understand if oil's, you know, $54, I'm hearing spot prices in the Permian are 30. Because there's no pipeline, there's no railroad. So you actually have to truck it to a railhead or something. You got to handle it, you know, God knows how many times. So they're getting, you know, 20, 25 bucks less than the price in Cushing, Oklahoma, because they're not in Cushing, Oklahoma. But if you could somehow get it there, that's fine. They'll give you the right price, but getting it there is a problem.
Why isn't there a railroad or a pipeline?
I don't know. Well, the pipeline, I don't know if they're building one or whatever. The interesting part about the railroad, Frank, so here's an investment that maybe I would have guessed like Frank's granddad might have been involved in. The most of that property, or a lot of that property, is owned by a defunct railroad. It was a railroad called the Fort Worth and Western or something. Google this someday. It's a fascinating story. So when they used to give a charter for a railroad, they essentially would give the railroad company a chunk of land, and not just for the right of way, but land on each side of it to essentially sell to get the money to build the railroad. So they would, you know, something like 20% of all the money, all the land mass in this country, and a lot of it useless, was given to the five Western railroads. That's like a lot of land, Frank. This outfit was the Fort Worth and Western. And they give them all this, you know, crap scrub land through West Texas, a place that nobody wants but the armadillos and the jackrabbits. And I think they made it, I'm going to say, 5 miles out of Fort Worth and said, bleep it. we're not building this thing. They kept the land for like years and years and years. And the stock was like nothing. But the stock was still there. And all of a sudden, these guys are getting something like, I don't know, 10, 15, 20% of all the profit in the Permian Basin, because it's their land that they got from the government in like 1890 or something. How wild is that?
That is wild. And that could explain Warren Buffett 20, 30 years ago buying railroads.
Yeah, oh yeah. I was on, get a load of this. I was on CNBC the morning he bought the Burlington Northern. Last time I was on. I was supposed to be on to talk about Walmart earnings, right? So they stick you in this little room on LaSalle Street, and it's like you can't see yourself. And you can't even see who you're talking to. There's no monitor. And there's no obvious camera either. So you look, they say just look up toward there in the middle there, and that's where the camera is, right? Which is really bizarre. So of course Audrey's giving me no one to bleep about, I look like Dick Nixon, where your eyes are shifting back. What are you, Tricky Dick? And I'm going, you have no idea. We have no idea what you're looking at. So I looked at myself and I'm going, God, I look like, Hey, I didn't look so good in the first place because you're not, you know, they got the high-def camera and there's no makeup or anything, so you look terrible. So then you keep looking to where the monitor might be and there is none. So if you don't know the guy's voice, you don't know who you're talking to, which is even more bizarre. So then I get to where Joe Kernan asked me, because I mean, all Walmart earnings I could care rats behind about. So he says, what do you think about this Warren Buffett thing? And I said, well, Joe, it's obvious he's buying a monopoly. There's going to be oil in that area. I said, we're talking about a railroad that was the combination of five railroads. And he goes, what railroads? I go, it was Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy, the Great Northern, the Northern Pacific, and what, like two other little guys. He goes, what do you know so much about railroads for? I said, I used to work for Pullman. I said, but this is a monopoly. There's nobody else up there. I mean, the next railroad across is the Union Pacific. He owns everything north of that. He's like, really? Yeah. Actually, I think the Northwestern had a spur there that they abandoned or something. So they cut me off. They didn't want me saying anything bad about Warren Buffett being a monopolist. That was it. The last time I was on CNBC. How's that for a weird story?
You're too liberal for CNBC.
Yeah, let's do something, yeah. But it is a monopoly. In a real matter of fact, if you looked at the two stacks that got spanked the most on Friday, were the Kansas City Southern and the Union Pacific, which of course bought the Southern Pacific. So the Southern Pacific, the old Southern Pacific, and the Kansas City Southern are your two biggest movers in and out of Mexico, and both of them were down huge with tariffs in Mexico because all that trade is theirs.
I mean, so what do you think is going to happen in Mexico right now?
I don't know. I think the
it's driving the market.
Yeah, the Mexican president wants to talk to him and try and come to some kind of a deal, but I don't. There's obviously an awful lot wrong in Central America, and he wants those guys to essentially stop all these people from coming up here. Now, you know, I don't know. We were talking about this weekend pretty heavy, and I don't the idea that somebody how bad. I mean, and I will agree with Trump on something, on some things. I mean, why exactly are we giving money to those people down there? Where's that money going? I mean, obviously, it would probably be worse if we didn't give it to them. But do we ever get an audit of where this crap goes? I mean, is it just going? I mean, we're giving money to people, and they can't wait. The people we're giving the money for education, healthcare, and so forth, can't wait to. I mean, how bad would your life have to be to walk 1,000 miles through Mexico, for God's sake, to get here where they know this guy doesn't want you? I mean, it has to be pretty.
Well, we could ask the same question: as how bad would your life have to be to go from Europe to the United States via steerage class?
Well, yeah.
Ireland, Hungary, or Italy.
Well, you know how bad it was called a potato famine in Ireland, right? It was starving, but in Italy, I know it's just an overpopulation there. Was there any single event in Italy? Or is it just overpopulation or the idea of a fresh start?
Or not enough food. I mean, my Hungarian grandparents, my grandfather was 5 feet tall, my grandmother was 4'9". So that sort of implies to me that there was a food problem.
I'm sure we have it someplace. You want to see a real weird picture. All my Italian immigrant, that group, they have a picture of them. And they're all 5'4", 5'5", 5'6", maybe. And all their kids are behind them, and they're all 6 feet. So all the parents are in the front row. The kids are behind them, and you go, this can't be the family. And every one of them was, even the girls are 5'7". You know, and the fathers are 5'4". I mean, obviously there is a nutritional issue, but I think part, in some of the countries in Europe, and Italy might have been one of them, I don't think it's easy for kids to break into anything. I mean, the oldest kid might have got the law firm and something. So there really wasn't any place else for the younger ones to go. But I noticed when I was in...
I look at my grandfather on the Hungarian census, and his job title is serf. So...
Yeah, well...
I guess that's why you'd leave.
Well, when I did my... I was going to get my Irish citizenship, which, of course, I did all the work, and then I never applied. Well, why, I have no idea, but I just never did. So you had to go back and get your. Well, first you had to get all your. You have to complete the chain. You've got to get your birth certificate. You know, if you have a marriage certificate and so forth. Well, your birth certificate, your parents' death certificate if they've got one, their marriage certificate and their birth certificate. So then you've got to get the grandparent who was born in Ireland. So I get the grandparent who was born in Ireland, and actually the birth certificates and stuff they're very nice. They're easy to read. Much worse, much nicer than here. But their parents signed with an X. And I'm thinking, God, I knew I came from humble beginnings, but I don't know what that. I mean, the only time I ever saw that is a John Wayne movie where you make your mark, right, where you couldn't even write. And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it was 1800s, but still. There's this big X on his birth certificate. I'm going, what the hell is that? I realized it was the guy's mark. The girl, the mother could write, not the guy. Imagine that. And anyway, Frank. So how at some point here we've got this, 2-3 days in a row. I was convinced when the Mexican president yesterday said that he's willing to talk about it. I just assumed we'd be up 20 points last night. I kick up the machine and we're down 15. I'm like, what the hell? Then I find out he's insulting people over in Britain. And are we reaching the point of no return here where there's so much stuff going weird that it's not a 5-tweet fix? Is that what people are feeling, or something's going on here? It's worse than It's worse than it was a couple of weeks ago by a lot. I mean, a couple of weeks ago you thought we were one tweet away from, you know, from everything being, well, whatever okay is these days. Everything changing. And now it's, I don't think people feel, I mean, China is ramping up. They're blaming us for the trade war. You can't do a deal with this guy, blah, blah, blah. And,
he's the one that walks back, you know, agreements made, you know, along the way.
Right,
and, that's part of the art of the deal. Keep them off balance.
If I could remember what he said, my psychologist buddy, Dr. Mark, who was in town, and he was dying to come back on the show, he had a psychological term for Trump. It had something to do with degenerative narcissist or something, but it was this medical term. But he said something real interesting. He goes, you know, if you gave the man, despite the thousand lies that people have, you know, pretty much caught him on or whatever, he goes, if you gave him a lie detector test, he would be stone cold even. Because they aren't lies to him. In his mind, they were true when he said it, for whatever reason he said it, and that's it. He doesn't have any remorse about any of it. And he goes, it's just an amazing personality, worthy of study, basically. You know, I'm sure he's right, but I don't know much about that. But
I would guess so. I mean, despite recordings to the opposite, he's denying ever having called Meghan Markle nasty,
yeah,
or what she said nasty.
I mean, it might have been true at the time. It's not true now. You know, I could not have done it. Could have been me.
He denies ever having said it.
Yeah.
And it's. I think it goes back to, you know, Bill Clinton. It depends what you mean by is.
Well, I think in his case, it probably goes back to his childhood. His mother had no part of raising him, and the old man did, and whatever, kind of the chip off the old black or something. But anyway, but how do you trade the thing? I mean, Friday, I got a push out of my gold. I couldn't believe it. I had all these calls that were dead, buried, useless, and all of a sudden they're 5 cents, 6 cents, 7 cents, 14 cents. So I offered them at 14 because, I mean, we had them at 7 on the remainder of this time spread from weeks ago, and so all of a sudden it starts going down to 9. And I said, "Look, let's just get something for these things." We saw them at 9. They go to 4 within a minute. They turn around and go the other way. They trade 25 cents. I'm going, "You idiot! Just sold them at 9 or 25." Then they close at 9. And I rolled my puts up thinking, you know, every time gold goes up, it goes back down. Now it's rocketing again today. Is my long thought that we're going to get some rally out of gold, is it finally happening, Frank, or is this another teaser?
I find that very interesting. Gold and oil are very interesting. But, are we moving from gold to Bitcoin?
Well, that's a thought. I mean, we could very well be, but the oil, ever since we had this, quote, crisis in the Middle East, oil's got nothing but go down. What is it, $54 now or something? Yes, $54.09.
It was $53 yesterday, down,
yeah,
20%, and I was still $3.25 a gallon around me.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah.
Fill up the big truck this weekend?
I had to. I've been leaking some stuff in there, but I gave it the full Monty at $3.04 out in New Orleans. S&P futures are down 850, Dow futures down 76. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to ptisecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's ptisecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right
now. Well, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm tomorrow's Mr. Frank Fahey. Mr. Matt Weber. We also have Mr. Jackson Silverman. S&P Futures not only down 550, we're down 1550 last night, so we've come back two-thirds of the way. As the futures down 29, we've still got the Dow down about 65. Individual stocks in the clunk here are American Express down $1.71, Boeing down 360, as now they say there's more stuff to be done on the 737 with wing parts and other things they need to replace before. I talk about replacing the other ones within the next week, so they're not going to ground the rest of the fleet, but the 737s that are right before the MAX, but there's more work to be done on that plane, which is not so good. Also have a big drop in Alphabet today. Google shares down 31.53 as the Justice Department evidently is planning on doing something to those guys instead of watching Europe do it constantly. Anyway, so the headlines are not spectacular, but like I said, we are coming back some, quite a bit actually from last night. Over in Europe, We've got the DAX down 28.2%, so not heavy. FTSE down 20.2%. CAC around down 11.2%, so 0.2% across the board. Asia, Nikkei down 100, another 190.9%, 20,410. So a long, long way from 21,000. Shanghai down 8.3%, not much going on there. Hang Seng down 7, call that flat. Oil, we're up 64 cents, 54.14. Well, it didn't seem long ago, we're 65 hours, but still paid over $3 to fill up the Suburban. That's not good. Brent up 62 cents, 62.61. Natural gas, 243. Wow. We'll have to see what David says about that later, but that's got to be getting to a spot where you might want to, well, that's such a huge contract, but at least mentally buy it, let's put it that way. RBOB is $1.77. Wow. So the spread between RBOB and what I paid is like, God, $1.45. That is real high. Gold up 1160, 1322. Silver up 13 cents, 1470. Excuse me.
You're losing it.
Yeah, I'm losing it. What do you guys got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. It's a nice day. I got that part going.
You got that right. 37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. This sports weather traffic update is brought to you by a new sponsor, Luckbox Magazine. The guide to money and probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. And guess what? Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. So we encourage all of our listeners right now to go to luckboxmagazine.com/jocks and sign up for a free digital subscription to Luckbox Magazine. You will not regret it.
Plus, Jeff will be on tomorrow, right?
And Jeff will join us again tomorrow, and he'll join us weekly here going forward. So certainly for the whole summer at least, and we hope that it's a beneficial partnership for all parties. But we definitely encourage everyone to sign up for the Stocks and Jocks free subscription. We have actually a link to it on our website, and we'll tweet it out as well, or you can go to Luckbox Magazine.
Are you guys going to talk about the watching the people game or something?
Watching? Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a big thing right now, which is crazy. Taking a look at traffic.
Wait,
here.
Wait, how come the Illinois State didn't find a way to tax you watching those guys?
If there's money to be had, they'll find a way.
Yes.
We got one major issue right now on the roadways, Chief, on the Eisenhower. On the outbound side at Laramie, there's a crash that's been moved to the right shoulder, but it's causing a bit of a slowdown as folks navigate around that on I-290. Inbound side looking okay. No issues on the Stevenson. Southside expressways are all quiet. Traffic building heavily on the Kennedy as business travel kicks off on a Monday morning heading out to O'Hare. So it's a slow out to O'Hare, but no issues on the inbound side yet at this hour.
It was slow out to O'Hare at 4 o'clock yesterday. Did it ever not slow out to O'Hare?
That's a good point. Off the expressways, we have a crash downtown at Rush and Grand. And then it looks like also south suburb, Cicero Avenue at Flossmore Road, there is a crash. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, very similar to yesterday. We'll reach the low to mid-70s inland, but in the city, just a high of 64. So a little chilly, but sunshine and very nice, but about 12 degrees below normal. Right now it's mostly clear and 53 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, a hot one today, sunshine with a high of 97. Right now it's mostly clear and 75. In sports, the White Sox are playing good ball. They won again yesterday. They beat the Indians 2-0. Cubs were swept in St. Louis, lost to the Cardinals 2-1. Got out-dueled by Adam Wainwright yesterday. Diamondbacks topped the Mets 7-1. So as we take our Monday morning look at the MLB standings, the White Sox, don't look now, are in second place in the AL Central, 29-30, one game below 500. They're 11.5 games behind first place Minnesota.
Well, those guys are off and running.
They have the best record in baseball right now.
Yeah, they didn't predict that.
I mean, I think people thought they'd be competitive, but 40-18 through their first 58 is spectacular. And far and away, their best team in baseball ahead of both the Astros and the Yankees. So they're off to a good start. But the White Sox playing really good ball. They've won 6 out of 10. Again, one game below 500. They're tied for second place in the AL Central. Cubs have been swinging in the opposite direction. They're now just 31-26, five games above 500. They've dropped 8 out of 10 and 3 in a row after they were swept by St. Louis. They're now 1.5 games back of the Brewers, tied in the loss column in the NL Central. And then the Diamondbacks have been struggling of late, but they did win 2 in a row over the weekend. Luckily, they got to play the Mets. They're 30-30, right at 500, fourth place in the NL West, 11 games behind first place Los Angeles. Lastly, NBA Finals, Game 2 was last night, and Golden State stole one up in Toronto. 109-104 was the final, so that series is tied at one game apiece. Chief?
I don't know who... They don't really have a whole lot of people in the positions on the Cubs, but you look at what Javi Baez has done since he hurt his heel. Should he be playing? I mean, the guy, he's like 3 for 40 with about 25 strikeouts or something.
It's crazy. And you're right. It happened right after he hurt his heel on that kind of fluky play.
Yep.
He said his spikes got caught in the dirt kind of weird, and it pulled something or tweaked something. He missed, I think, 2 games, and then he came back. And he hasn't been the same. You're right. And I don't know if that is coincidence or if that's why or what.
Well, it's clearly bothering him when he's swinging.
It's hurt them badly. And then Chris Bryant missed a couple games, and he's been hurt. And Hayward missed a couple games, and he's been hurt. And obviously Zobrist is missing in action. And, you know, it's all kind of
caught up. Will he ever come back?
That's a good question. I don't know.
It sounds like the song, will he ever
return? If he doesn't, I'd like to see a good relief pitcher take his place.
I would agree with you, and I know that the Ricketts, who are paying him, I think, $14 million this year, would like to see him come back at some point. It's one thing to say take as much time as you need, but then when it's a month, it's like, okay, like, how much time do you really need?
What is this about? Somebody sick or something?
No, he's getting a divorce from his wife, and the speculation is his wife was cheating on him.
Okay, well, now you filed for divorce, so what are you going to do, hang around and watch?
That's what I'm wondering. He filed for divorce.
They have kids.
Totally get that. But,
and assets.
But it's been a month now. At some point, you would imagine he would return to work.
One would think.
So, but that's
this is a new world, man. You got to be sensitive.
I mean,
it's a first world problem.
It is. Yes, it's a first world problem.
God. Frank, when you start to see stuff up and down, we had Carl on last week talking about how he thinks if you take the money out of the borrowed money out, that we actually haven't had any growth in 8 years, and he's probably on the wild end of that chain. But I wouldn't bet against him because he didn't.
It was a good argument.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, very strong. I couldn't argue against it.
Well, if you pump money into the system, and what Carl's essentially saying is, we have a $20 trillion. Economy, use the numbers that way. If the Fed wings in, $500 billion, which is what? 1% would be what, $2 trillion?
Mm-hmm.
No, well, no, 1% would be, 200 billion, right? 10% would be $2 trillion. So if you put in 2.5 times that from essentially made up money, then you say your growth is 1.5 or 2%. Did you really grow? And I think an awful lot of people might say, not exactly. And that's kind of where he is. Is that a simplified version of that, Frank?
Yeah, and that might be what we're seeing in gold right now, because we've had an asset run up, and if this run up of 3.5-4% in gold could be because it's one of the few assets that goes up in a recession.
Well,
so this may be the canary in the mine.
Well, it's an asset that goes up when currencies. That's what I was sort of. I mean, obviously, we were talking at length with the guys I haven't seen in a long time, and that was kind of the trying to explain that when you see gold, it might not be gold going up; it might be gold dollar going down, because one is in relation to the other, and we always fixate on the dollar part, and in fact, it could be the dollar that's on the shifting sands, which most people, even me, I mean, you don't normally feel that way because the dollar is all you've ever seen in your pocket. It's not like we walk around with euros and whatever else, hoping that one moves up versus the other on a given day. I mean, it's not what we do. But that's, and we were talking, interestingly enough, a couple of guys. One's a guy's a retired Army guy. The other guy's a retired teacher. We were talking about pensions and so forth, and I was just saying that, when you look over a 20-year span, which is what Carl has been teaching me, basically, is that's the issue comes down to do teachers make too little or too much? It doesn't really matter. It's a question of relativism. I mean, unfortunately, everything is relative. Of course, Lou hasn't accused you of being a moral relativist lately too much, Maddie. It must be because you're getting old. Anyway, matter of fact, he hasn't done that in a couple of years. But the idea being is, at some point in society, somebody with, whatever, factory job, whatever you want to call it, was the median income of people other than teachers was, say, $15,000, and teachers made $11,500 or $12,000. Now, whether that was right or wrong, I mean, who the hell knows? But the idea is the people making the $15,000 are paying the people making the $11,500, $12,000. And over a period of really 25, 30, 40 years, the people making the $15,000 are now making $35,000, and the teachers are now making $55,000, $60,000, which is not too much, I don't think. I mean, some are making more, if you got degrees or you've got your coach or something. But some people retiring are making $85,000, $90,000. So the question doesn't come down to, you know, do teachers deserve a 3% raise a year? Of course they do. I mean, but so does everybody, and the other people aren't getting it. So when you look at the snapshot of 1977 and look at the snapshot of 2019 and you go, wait a minute, how are these people paying for those people? Because there's you know, it doesn't work that way, you know, that type of thing. It's all amazingly relative. It's like the Notre Dame education, which they think is a screaming bargain at $70,000. Well, when I graduated, if you put it in the CPI indicator, they should be paying 18 and they're paying 70. And these guys, most of the reunion, get a little, Frank, was all in the new skyboxes and stuff at the stadium. I said, don't you think that's a little...
That's how it was for the class of 73. I went to that one last year, and the 72 was not done yet. So
they don't even do the beer tent out where you can just go by and have a beer and sit down and talk to people anymore. They don't even do that. It's all held in these new incredible suites at the state. Why exactly does a college need that, and what am I missing?
It doesn't need it. Notre Dame's become the Catholic Disneyland.
Yeah, well,
I grew up there. You know, I lived, was born and married student housing, what they called Vetville. So
really,
I know Notre Dame pretty well, and I don't understand it.
What's this race for?
Unbelievable amounts of money.
If somebody else has it, you got to have it, right? Then it's okay. As soon as somebody else gets a skybox, you got to have a skybox. Evidently, they want, what, $100,000 a year for the middle skyboxes, the best than the 50? Or some massive number?
Is that still tax deductible?
I don't know if I think the donations are, I don't
think... Do you pay with that with pre-tax or post-tax dollars?
I think the donations are still...
I guess my bottom line question.
I'm going to say that the donation is tax deductible. The tickets are not. I'm going to guess. You know, right now, they are not taxed. I mean, if PTI buys season tickets, how bleeped up is this? If I take clients to the game, they're not tax deductible. But if I parcel them out to employees, that's tax deductible. Who thought of that?
How long before you have to start taxing the employees for that?
You know, that I don't know. But you can use it as a... Like, you can take people out for a Christmas party, and that's tax-deductible. If you take a client out for dinner, it's not. I mean, that's kind of bizarre when you think about it. S&P futures down on 750. NASDAQ futures down 33. Frank, you can hang out for a bit if you want, but we have Stephanie when we come back from break. And this should be fun. Talk to her about... I bet she's got, you know, Steph keeps up on everything, even though she has a little one she's taking care of. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Can't wait to talk to her. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net. Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. Still Mr. Frank Fahey. Hey, Frank, what about S&P futures now down 775, so we got back to 550, and now we're leaking south here a little bit again. Frank, what do you make of this thing going on with Federal Express? It's Federal Express down 428 as China's all pissed off because they diverted a couple of packages headed for Huawei's headquarters in China back into the U.S. or something. They didn't deliver them.
Wow, I missed that.
Yeah, so the Chinese are not happy that their FedEx took it upon themselves to not deliver the packages as they accepted them for delivery, and then they didn't deliver them, evidently. And who knows, but so they're pissed off.
Now, did our government intercept them?
That seems to be the hint here that no matter who we gave them to, we gave them to somebody. We're supposed to be delivered from Japan to China, but they ended up in the United States. FedEx said they were misrouted in error, and the company has apologized. It's kind of a big miss.
So have we sent them back to China? FedEx?
That I don't know. Company said FedEx will fully cooperate in a regulatory investigation of how we serve our customers. Huawei says they're suspicious. They're suspicious. I don't see...
I'm a big user of Amazon Prime, or my family is, and lately I've seen a number of FedEx packages that are, when I track them, out for shipping, and I don't get them for another 2 or 3 days. So there's some sort of problem going on at FedEx from my standpoint.
We've had a couple of people do, you know, buy stock here and then overnight us the money, you know, good clients, and have not gotten it for 3 days. It's been a big problem. Where we didn't, you know, where the thing was sent when they said they sent it, and they paid for overnight on a Tuesday, and we get it on Friday. You know, and that's a problem.
And that's FedEx, right?
Yeah, it was FedEx. So I don't know what their issues are, but
so there is an issue with China, Tom, and Frank.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, but the yeah, but you know, you can't do that at a securities firm because if the thing doesn't show up on time, you know, it's a big issue. I mean, you got to pay in when you're supposed to pay. You know, so it's I don't know what you mean. It's not like you can. I mean, it's obvious that the customer sent it on time, so you're not mad at him, but. But, you know, rules are rules in a lot of ways. So, fortunately, none of them have been beyond any time when you can pay. But, boy, all it would have taken was another day. And it should have been here, like I say, on a Tuesday. It shows up on Friday. You know, Monday would have been a problem. But, anywho, I don't know where the lead dog is here, Frank, when you think about the state of the economy. You know, back in the 20s, 1929, the rural areas of the country were already in a depression really for a decade. I think some areas in our country are still in a, are never going to work their way out of it because of the state of Illinois. And I'll say this as a former Democrat, now partyless, adrift in the middle, Frank. I don't know that's well, I'm on the MTA. Never will he ever return. This action in the State House this weekend, I am so disgusted. I can't even. These guys, they don't care what it is. They're going to either have games or this or that. Or why don't they legalize prostitutes? Why don't they legalize everything? Anything that they can possibly get a nickel from tax wise? Why don't they just go there? I mean, the gambling has not. The last casino they put in didn't solve any problem. The lottery didn't solve any problem. Now we're all going to be solved with slot machines in the airports, slot machines in the racetracks. Five more casinos? Or some huge number? I mean, we're going to solve all these problems. This is just another way to get money out of people. I mean, I love to gamble, but this is, they're not, I mean, Matty Weber and I were talking about it on the way in this morning, and he says, well, people want to do it. I said, they may want to do it. And I, you know, I don't disagree with that, but that's not why people are doing this. I mean.
Well, on the legalization of marijuana,
yeah.
They set a severe limit on the number of plants you can grow. And that was for people with a medical marijuana license,
yeah.
You know, or ticket. So obviously that's to keep you from competing with the people who, the big money that's going to be growing it.
Well,
I mean, it's amazing.
Well, they're going out for application for recreational hooch, and I'm what's it going to be? $50,000-$100,000 in application, non-refundable. If you don't get it, you just don't get it. But we'll know more because we got guys. But
we know people that understand that business,
right?
Within Illinois.
But it's all about.
So
I mean, it has the thought with a state that's so far down a rat hole, Illinois. The thought of these guys cutting back on dollar one, let's all think about every which way we can get in people's pockets even more. The thought that they're just spending too much and maybe they have enough never crosses their mind. You know, and if I'm listening to this early Saturday morning, and I'm having a long talk with the gentleman who lives downstairs from me because he's one of the, the aides, number one aide to one of the big shots in the Senate. So I'm gonna pry him loose with a couple of beers this week and find out just how wild it was last weekend or this past weekend. I'm listening to this and then I go into the gas station to get a refill on my coffee and I see some poor guy betting $50 on the instant lotto and poof, there went that 50. You know, and I just, you know, I was at the last week, Aud and I went to the Mexican place out in Orland. And some guy comes in for his birthday, and you know he's got whatever, and he walks over. he was at the video poker for, wasn't even time for his tacos to show up, and he went through $50. I mean, it's not like anybody's winning any of this stuff. I mean, it clearly is nothing but a drain of dough. And nobody likes to gamble more than me, but this is crazy. I mean, to go to the track once a week or once a month.
I haven't gambled for years because I think it works against having a trading discipline.
Well, that's probably true, too. And anyway, Steph, are you with us?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, there's a, well, we still have Frank. There's a rumor running around, Steph. Just yeah. Saying. Murmurs in the mist, whispers in the wind that on the way to the hospital to have the new one, by the way, she's beautiful, that you went limit long soybeans, limit long corn, and limit long gold. Is that true?
Well, you know, the good thing is that I didn't, but I would have at the time. It probably would have been a good trade at the time.
I would say you are right. What's corn up, like 50 cents, 60 cents or something? Is nobody can plant corn now? It's so, for those that don't know, Steph spent some time on the Chicago Board of Trade floor, so she actually knows way more about this than I do, which hopefully we'll get out of her this morning. But the first thing is congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And
it's thrilling.
Yeah. How do you like it so far? She's not a teenager yet. It must be okay.
Well, she doesn't talk back yet. Well, that's not true. I guess she does talk back some, but she doesn't talk back that much yet. So. No, I mean, you know, it's a different phase of life, but it's interesting. And it's lovely to have her.
She was out with us in the Club Lago a few weeks ago. Although, by the way, you were nowhere near a record, from what I hear.
Oh, no?
No. Evidently, some have been brought there on the way home from the hospital.
Well, you know, we all have our priorities.
Yes. So, you've been doing having a lot of time to do some studying and seeing what's going on in the world. What if you just by looking at, I mean, obviously Frank and I are somewhat focused. What do you see? I mean, in terms of, this is the last time, it's not the year, sort of like the Depression wasn't the time you needed the Dust Bowl. This isn't the time this year where the farmers having all these problems for the storms to keep people from planting. It seems like a lot of stuff's happening at once here.
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of we have the perfect storm, and maybe that's Trump, right? Anytime anything sort of is settled down, he's got to rile it up and kind of bring it back. So between the China tariffs and now, I mean, whether or not the Mexico tariffs are actually a reality or not is another question. And then you've got all this weather that's obviously causing big problems in the Midwest for the growers and farmers. I mean, unfortunately, I think farmers are the ones that are getting the short end of the deal. You know, they've sort of been asked to give up some what's dubbed as short-term gain for a longer-term better situation. And, you know, I'm concerned about how long they can hold out.
Well, at the end of the day, you know there'll be 1,000, 10,000 less family farms. And every time something like this happens, and I know, boy, I just feel like I'm such a grump ass when I say this. Every time something like this happens, goes back to the Resolution Trust, that I'm sure goes way back beyond that. Seems like certain small people get squeezed out, and same people seem to gain. And, you know, that's why I never like to see stuff like this happen. I don't want to see inflation again, because how bad it was last time. They took out every savings and loan. I mean, how many already in the Minnesota area? This is probably more of a question for my brother because he keeps up with all his agricultural stuff. But how many small farms do you think up there are already gone? I mean, it's got to be
probably a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. And so this whole idea that you should take the short term hit for the team. Meanwhile, I never will. You know, you should take a short term hit so the rest of us could have long term gain. I don't know that ever, you know, I mean, obviously we're all Americans here and people have lost uncles and parents and so forth in wars and had, you know, maybe brothers and sisters walking around with one leg and so forth. Fortunately now you can walk with one leg. Back in those days you couldn't, but everybody's supposed to be taking a sacrifice seemingly for the same people who never seem to take a sacrifice, or is that just me? We're just getting grumpy.
No, I mean, this goes back to our conversation we have regularly about, you know, the large people who have, or large corporations or big groups who have a lot more money can withstand time and hardships a lot better or a lot easier. But that does force out the little guys in any industry, and, you know, we lose our diversity and we lose independence and we lose competition. So, I mean, all of it, I think, is not necessarily good for us as a country. And, frankly, although it's being billed as longer-term gain, I'm not sure what gain we're going to have. The soybean farmers in this country have really worked very hard to grow their industry and their market overseas. And, you know, we've basically just crushed years of work for them. So I'm just not really... I don't see the long-term game. Maybe there's something I'm missing, but I just don't see.
Well, I think you hit on something, Steph, and for those, but when Steph was on the floor, I mean, being her nature, she always would be helping people working in these sort of areas. It's not just, and we've had people on the show when Chris used to come on, that you don't just throw soybeans in the ground, have them pop up, and all of a sudden the guys there are waiting with the covered hopper car to take them to Seattle and bring them to China or Thailand or whatever. I mean, there's years of ponying up, and maybe you get help from the government, maybe you don't, maybe you probably do. If ponying up, I don't know how those things work, Steph, maybe you could enlighten us, but farmers are going to pay into these co-ops and paying into, you're going to have people that you pay full-time, and their job is to open these markets for you, to go over there, to talk to the right people and say, who do we send this stuff to, who do we get... You can't just get this order after you've got this stuff sitting in a pile on your field. I mean, you need to do this years in advance. But the reason why I'm growing my stuff is because we have a long-term buyer here, we have a long-term buyer here. Otherwise, you would never have grown soybeans in Minnesota because you can't get them in New Orleans from there unless you put them in a trunk of your car or get them to some kind of a railhead. And even that, there's not a whole lot of rails that go from... How would you even have to do that, Frank? You got to take the Burlington Northern to Chicago and hook up with the Illinois Central New Orleans. I mean, that's a interesting. I could actually show you the bridge.
At a certain point, you could put it on a barge on the Mississippi.
Someplace, yeah.
Yeah.
But the point being is that there's years and years of investment to get these, quote, markets open for you. You don't just get. I mean, when Chris and his wife, who used to do some of this stuff, when they would buy a couple of containers of like a specialized corn or something, they needed a certain grade, and sent it to China, it took those guys, you know, years to get that connection. And for that buyer to know, I can use these people to get what I need and come here and actually pay for it. It just doesn't happen. It's not like two girls having a lemonade stand on the corner hoping somebody jogs by. I mean, the idea of how much work is involved here, and like Steph said, how long does it take to ruin it, Steph? I mean, not very long.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that, you know, individuals in your market, where they still need their product. A lot of the people that they get sold to are food producers, and food producers can't just stop producing whatever product they're doing. I mean, they'll lose their business. So they go and they find other places to get it. And, you know, there are a lot of other markets that are willing to work for it, willing to change what they're farming in order to make markets.
How many dudes from
Bill orders when there's money there?
I don't think there's had a lot of ladies in this business, especially from down there, but how many dudes right now from Brazil and Argentina are hanging around in China dying to take these markets away from us?
And they are.
Yes.
I mean, they're buying every kind of beer and whiskey they can, and I don't know, the Chinese eat shrimp cocktails, whatever the equivalent of shrimp cocktails over there, they're being bought right now. Screw those guys from the U.S. You can't count on them. Our soybeans are better anyway. They got to be all over the place. I mean, why would we send anybody over there now? I mean,
if only Venezuela had a soybean crop, maybe it would help their economy.
Well, they could, you know. I got to ask you guys, having never been to a place like that, I should have asked Emma when she was on a couple weeks ago. I don't ever want to go, but I've never been to a place. How do you suppose you survive all day in Venezuela when the currency is worth nothing? How do you get out? The bus must be free, but just general people activity is what? Is it barter? I mean, what do you do to go get a cup of coffee?
You don't get a cup of coffee.
You don't. Okay. Well, that. So I mean, what is your daily life like? Have you ever been to a place like that, Steph, that was totally unglued?
I'm not when it's been this unglued, but I've been to a lot of economies that are definitely not as mature as ours. And there's a ton of barter that goes on. People basically just live without, you know, and that means without food, and that means without everything.
Well, I mean, but even your basic, if you do have a crop of some kind, and you head to town with it, what do you come back with? Just like chits of some sort?
Probably has been stolen because people have probably been in your field trying to, you know, steal it because there's no food.
Okay.
So you probably haven't survived. Your crop hasn't survived. And then even if it does, you know, there's no one really in town who's got anything else because there's nothing that's coming in. Maybe you trade with your neighbor for something else that they have, but there isn't.
Or maybe you walk 1,000 miles across Mexico.
Right.
Right.
Come to a place that has running water.
Well, is it your feeling? I mean, what? Name one of these places so we can at least have some kind of a reference. Are they getting better or worse? Is the population growth making it worse? Is there progress in something? It's hard to judge all these places, but.
Well, I mean, some places the population's increasing, but in places like Venezuela, I would assume it's not. Just like in Syria, I would assume it's not. You know, major crisis places like that, the population's declining, whether people are starving to death, A or B, leaving, or C, just dying from lack of food.
Or I'm sure medical stuff is nowhere. So I'm just trying to, we had this discussion last night. I wish you guys had been there. Because I cooked up some pretty good stuff. I went all the way out to, you remember those guys at 111th Street, Frank, S&T Provisions? I went out and got some Italian sausage there. Like, somebody fell off or did something. And my guys were all happy with it. Is that Steph or Frank we lost? Well, maybe looks. We'll get them back. Anyway, you do wonder, and I've always said, you know, on many occasions that it's when you see something that's running very, very well, you know, a healthy person, and everything. It's hard. I mean, it's a thing. Hey, Steph, I was just saying what I'm trying to sort of worm out of you, even though I know it's not there's no such thing as a proper answer. When you see something working properly, like your little baby girl, like everything's fine, you know, and it's a terrific, or a person who's healthy, and all of a sudden somebody's not, it's really hard to figure out what to start up first. I mean, it's like an economy that's hitting on all cylinders, and all of a sudden it's not. I mean, if you're a government or if you're someplace, I mean, read the Great Depression here, it's really hard to say, well, if we just do this first, or do this first, somehow we can. I mean, do we get the brain to send the signal to the heart first, or do we get the heart started first? I mean, it's really kind of hard to, and I, you know, when you get this whole thing going on with Mexico, where we're somehow sending money to some government, say Central America. Now, who knows if it's what percentage of the economy it is? It's probably not a very big amount. So there's money down there. Some people obviously always seem to manage to take the dough. Other people don't seem to get so much. And now all of a sudden, I mean, with no news of anything on this end, I don't think I've actually read an in-country story of any place down there. Why now today that you know, El Salvador or someplace or Guatemala is spitting people in the middle? I haven't read in today's news media. So, I don't know. I don't know what reason why things are worse than a year ago, or maybe they're not worse and people just heard about it. They get in. I mean, where do you start to fix this? I mean, Trump's going to blame it on Mexico or blame it on, you know, but where is the fix?
Well, I mean, I think there's a bunch of different things that have happened. One, Trump holds funding from, you know, a lot of the funding that we provide to a lot of South American countries. And, you know, it's not like this funding just necessarily gets sent down and gets headed to, you know, the president or whoever dictators down there. A lot of research and a lot of people have gone into, in many cases, into figuring out what programs they're going to use it for, you know, how it's supposed to be applied. There's all sorts of different rules and strings attached to the money as to where it's supposed to go and how it's supposed to be used. And by just cutting it completely off, it's like, you know, when the federal government cuts off money to a particular state for, let's say, Medicare or Medicaid or something like that. The state needs to make up that money, and when your economy isn't that stable, there's no way to make up that money, right? So basically, you just, people just don't, either don't get paid, or, you know, services just don't happen. And some of those things, you know, there were some great examples of some very successful programs with coffee plantations where they were teaching these individuals not just about how to grow coffee, but how to do it with climate change, because the climate change is causing coffee to have to be to move up in higher elevations, and there are some techniques that they're using in order to enable coffee plants to last longer in lower, hotter regions as they come along. And so there were some active programs that were keeping people in their location because they could have a sustainable business. And with all of that gone, and gone suddenly, so it's not like anyone can plan or make changes, I mean, what do they do? You know, suddenly your lifeline's gone.
What is,
you know,
the...
whether you worked at GM and now GM's closed, what are you going to do? You just move. There's nothing else at home.
Well, what is the... I mean, the obviously the people who run these countries, and you've been there, I haven't, but there is some vig. I mean, none of these guys ever live poorly. So there has to be some...
Ooh.
I'll use the guys who run any of these, I'll use the term third world, which I probably
A lot of them are. I mean, a lot of them are church-run. I mean, there are a lot of things that, when you get down to the grassroots of it, there are a lot of people that, yes, don't make a lot of money. Yes, probably at the very top when we're talking about, you know, senior, you know, presidents and people at that level. But those aren't the people that are usually implementing the project. That, you know, Trump's not going to go out and go to a farmer and hand them $100 and say, here, you know, buy a new tractor. But there are a lot of people at that level, even in this country, that don't make a lot of money, but are very...
Well, you know, the my friend who had the the deal going in Africa where they were going to do some stuff, and they ended up having whatever they did, they had to pay the dictator. And usually they had the, you know, the Swiss bank account and the whole bit. You're saying some of the places here in Central America are not that bad, that a lot of this money actually gets where it's supposed to go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an extreme example. And, you know, a lot of these countries that what we're talking about don't have dictators.
Okay.
You know, they do have codes of law. They do have actual legal bodies that do look for enforcement and do look for corruption. So, you know, I think we, as Americans, have really overlooked our southern neighbors, meaning South America, as partners. We have a lot in common in terms of, you know, we all live in basically, you know, same continental mass, but we have a lot of other things in common, too, and they're seen kind of as third world citizens, and they're not. And, you know, we could really expand our markets by supporting them and having them grow with us. We've only ever really looked at Europe, and, you know, Europe's stumbling. I don't understand why we don't take our South American friends and Central American friends and really make them better partners.
Well, Steph, why is the, it appears to me, again, as somebody who just listens to the contributors on this show, and from what I read, why is some of the economic theory that you and I have talked about over adult beverages, you know, why hasn't the wages of the GM plant in Mexico grown as fast as the Milton Friedmans of the world would have said they would have? I mean, is it because somehow corporations, this is very accusatory, but I think it happens in China. I don't know about Mexico. That's what I'm asking you. Is it corporations pay people to essentially keep the workers in line? Or, I mean, you don't hear of strikes, you don't hear of unions. I mean, why are they still making $3 an hour, for God's sake? I mean, it's been 25 years. You'd think they'd be up to $5. I mean, the whole idea of this, when we spread stuff around in the economist's mind, was you would eventually create incredible amount of new customers after a few years, that of maybe, you know, you've lost some workers because they was cheaper down there. It would eventually get not so much cheaper down there, and all of a sudden these guys are making $10 an hour and they're buying your stuff, and you're making more up here than you ever dreamed you were going to make. And it was sort of an investment. And yet most people would say it sort of hasn't worked out that way. And in China, I think I know why, because you have to pay off, or at least the research I did, you had to pay off a guy or two, how's that for Southside, to basically be your governmental dude to keep everybody in line. So, I mean, it's a totalitarian regime, and it turned out that way. Now, Mexico, this new president, I think, is a lot better. Are we going to see the guys in the plant down there making $10 an hour anytime in our lifetime, or no?
Well, I think it's a hard question to answer, because I think each country is managed somewhat differently. But, I mean, if we look at Mexico has improved, and I think, I don't know, Frank, you there? I thought I heard him. Mexico has improved, I think, quite significantly, but if you look at the amount of industry that has moved down there, there's only specific, I think, corporations that have and types of jobs. I don't think there's enough economy that's necessarily been, or enough business that's been driven down there to drive up the average wage. So still, people are, still having a hard time finding jobs. Also, I think they've had a really hard time with the cartels. You know, the cartels kind of go through and disrupt society. So, I mean, the answer is I don't know specifically with regard to Mexico.
Well, it could well be that you stay right under. And I think that's kind of what happened here, Steph, for a long time, with maybe a lot of the stuff going overseas or whatever. I mean, the demand for labor, let's face it, if you can get guys at $10 an hour, you don't pay 11. And
right.
I think we had an artificially high labor pool here because so many people left. We've had so many combinations in industries where they've just laid people off. I mean, you can get somebody with a master's degree for probably $40,000 in some areas, because guess what? They got 40,000 people got laid off in that town because somebody left. I mean, so we've had that, and now we're starting to see here, especially on the low end. I mean, and I know people that own like restaurants and stuff that, man, I can't hire anybody. Well, how much are you paying? 10. What if you paid 12? Well, then I get somebody, but I don't want to pay 12. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? But that's, you're saying that spot has not been hit yet in Mexico. You can still get people at the lower end, so you haven't reached the point where you can't get somebody. It's more of an economic thing than somebody, forcing somebody hit over the head with a club if they had demanded more.
That would be my limited knowledge on this topic, which is extremely limited. That would be my understanding, but I'm not fully versed on what's going on exactly in their economy.
Well, because the economic part was, hey, these guys will be, of course, sending stuff over to China in 5 years. You know, if they'll be getting busier, there's going to be a demand for labor over there. Guess what? They're not going to be able to get 10 cents an hour. It'll be $2 an hour. And before you know it, they're buying your Chevys over here, and you won't be able to make enough of them. I mean, that was the
theory. But look at India, right? So India has really done well at this, right? They started more as producing a lot of low-quality items. You know, they moved there. They spent a ton of money, and they really improved their educational system, and now, you know, they're one of the tech giants of the world, meaning that their people are very high, majority of their people are skilled labor, and so the economy or the well-being of the nation has kind of been growing, as have the wages in India tremendously, right? But that's a concerted effort in a country that has a lot of structure, that has the population to grow and has the money and the support from other nations to actually progress, right? You don't have a lot of those things in a lot of these
Steph,
other
what countries. What is, just out of curiosity, and I don't know if you don't know, just say, when somebody brings like their call center or something over to India, what do you have to pay those people? Just out of curiosity, it's not a dollar an hour, but I mean, it's probably not 20, but is it like 9 or 10 or 8 or something? I don't even know.
So the answer is I don't know. I do know that 15 years ago, you know, I could hire somebody for, you know, a week, and they were technical, meaning that they could answer technical questions and work with computers and all sorts of other things. And I think I paid them, I think it was $26 a week. So, I mean, it was low, very low salary.
And you got people, you got somebody who had gone to school and was competent.
Yeah, well, competency is another question that obviously depends. But they were educated. It was probably the low end of the spectrum at the time. But you know, they had a graduate, or I should say a college degree.
So, but now that number's gone up.
Spoke English, yes, that number's definitely increased.
Because I've heard some of these call centers and stuff are coming back because I guess it's not that much cheaper.
Well, it's not that much cheaper anymore. A lot of them moved to Ireland because when they originally moved over to India, everyone just thought you could read from a script. But because customer service and personalization and the experience has become such a big deal in, you know, in terms of keeping clients, the focus now is not just on getting somebody off the phone and answering. It's actually having a conversation, and that requires a different set of skills. It also requires somebody who understands culturally what you're looking for, and the low-end call center people that you're looking to hire can't fulfill that multi-prong request, right?
Well, if ever you want to see people that were pissed off at people on the phone, it's your frequent flyer guys. They have issues with a flight, and they're talking to somebody in India, and they're telling people here it's raining, and they're looking out the window, and it's sunny, and they go, where are you, by the way? Well, we're in India. Man, I think a lot of that was pushback from people here. I can't understand this person. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, and he doesn't know what I'm talking about. Well, what are you doing? Which I think is what
he tells me his name is Bob, but I know his name's not Bob.
Right, his name is not Bob. Yeah, God. So, what do you think the end of the summer is going to be with this grain? I mean, we're going to, I mean, a lot of people can trade grains through our IB site, our PTI Pro Direct, and we're starting to get some grain traders. We haven't had grain traders in years, and now we've all of a sudden got some people. Is this going to be the trade of the summer stuff, or what?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of people's lifeline. You know, how much protection can they put in place? Because I think there's, between the weather and everything else, I think there's, you know, just so much risk out there for them. So, however they can protect themselves, I think is probably the way to go this year.
What Steph is hinting at but not saying is one of the reasons for the futures market, I mean, a main reason, is for a farmer to be able to hedge his corn. Or his soybeans or whatever. So the ideal is, and I'll keep this brief, is if you're a farmer, you're not a crop speculator. So say the futures are trading $4, you sell the futures, and at the end of the year, if the futures go up or down, at least you've locked your crop in at $4. But Steph, if you don't know if you're going to have a crop, you can't sell a future at all.
That's true. You know, some of the farmers have, you know, decent deals with insurance on crop. But you got to get a crop on the ground in order to get insurance on it. So
So
it's going to be a rough year.
Maybe next week you can tell us a little more how that works. But yeah, I don't think if you never plant, I don't think you get anything, do you? I'm not sure.
So it depends. If you have certain deals, like with certain companies, that even if you attempt to plant, they will still pay you. But those are few and far in between.
All right, Steph, we got to go. We'll talk to you next week. Yeah, this is terrific. Great hearing your voice. SP Futures down 8, NASDAQ Futures down 35. Maybe I'll see you soon in the flesh. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed.
PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com. Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber in the world. We'll have Mr. David Animal here in a second. We have Mr. Jack Silverman working on as well. S&P Futures down 775. We were down 1550 last night, 1350 when I came in, then 1150, and we came all the way back up to down 550. Now we're locked between down 750 and 8 here for the last hour, pretty much. NASDAQ down 34, we got the Dow down 83. They were, both of those were worse. Oil an issue this morning, not an issue, but it's a big rally, up 89 cents, but when you see that, it's still only up to 54.39, 10-year note, 2.11, so that's about as low. I think that's got to be as low as it's been. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 16.1%. So not much anywhere. FTSE down 12, down 1.1. CAC around down 3, call that flat. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 190. That's a big move. 0.9%, 20,410. Shanghai down 8, that's 0.3%. Hang Seng down 7, that's flat. Like I said, oil up 93 cents, 54.43. Brent up 66, 62, 65. So that spread is now down to $8.20. So the spread has come down, come in $2 in the last 3 days. Natural gas, 243. RBOB gas, 178, down from 215. So gas is down almost pushing 30-some cents in the last 3 weeks, which is not really showing at the tent, or the tent, at the pump yet. Gold up 1150, 1322. That's a big move in gold. Silver up 13 cents, 1469. We'll see if it makes it through 15. Every time it gets to 15, get smacked back like whack-a-mole, but we're going to try it. Copper unchanged at 264. What do we got for traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Stevenson is our slowest moving expressway all of a sudden because we have a crash. It's on the northbound side just before Cass Avenue, but it's affecting the Stevenson in both directions due to gapers on the other side as well. So solid traffic delays on the Stevenson in both directions, so keep that in mind as you're heading out. a crash right near Cass Avenue on the northbound Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford, normal traffic volumes, no accidents to report. Earlier crash on the Eisenhower is all clear, but Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Edens are all very slow moving at this hour. Off the expressways, still working on that crash downtown, Rush Street and Grand, so that must have been a bad one. And then we have a multi-vehicle accident in the south suburbs, Glenwood Dyer Road at Torrance Avenue, that crews are working on as well. Everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine today, mild temperatures, a high of 64 near the lake, low 70s further inland. Right now it is mostly cloudy and 54, but we should have lots of sunshine today. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 97. Right now it's partly cloudy and 76. In sports, White Sox won again. They're playing good ball. They beat the Indians 2-0 and are one game below 500 and tied for second place in the AL Central. Cubs were swept in St. Louis by the Cardinals. They fell 2-1 yesterday. Diamondbacks beat the Mets for their second straight win. 7-1 was the final in that one. And the NBA Finals are even at one game apiece as Golden State won Game 2 in Toronto, beating the Raptors 109-104. Chief.
So, Matty, it was a simpler time. Glenwood Dyer Road, where do you suppose that goes from?
I'm going to guess Glenwood to Dyer.
Yeah, it was a simpler time. there's Glenwood Lansing Road. It goes from Glenwood to Lansing. I mean, you know,
I like that.
You know, very. Yeah, wonder where that one goes. You know, type of thing. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
What are we looking at first? We have all kinds of stuff happening this morning. We got gold. We got beans. We got corn. We've got Frank talking about some people on their crop report or crop insurance. If they don't get something in by the 4th or 5th, all of a sudden they jump to a different part of the policy, and this is all getting pretty complicated here.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's every day now. I mean, there was talk this morning that I guess it's a day old. I use a lot of news sources. I didn't really see it, but I heard it about removing special trade treatment for India because they won't assure the U.S. that they're providing equitable and reasonable access to its markets, and then. The Trump administration isn't confirming, but they're not denying that discussions have been held as far as putting tariffs on steel from Australia and also aluminum. And it's just, you know, where do you turn next? You know, let's find another friend we can slap.
I'll tell you where we turn. Trump calls for boycott of AT&T to force big changes at CNN. This is all happening while he's over in Britain, supposedly doing a state visit.
Right, while Theresa May is getting thrown out of resigning from office.
Well, he's already insulted the guy from the London mayor. He did that on the way over.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand. Being frank, actually in the overnight, I know you watch it from the wee hours, but you know I get the nightly highs and lows. The S&P Mini was down as much as 21.25.
Well, I saw it down 15.50 around 10 o'clock.
21.25 and the NASDAQ. The Dow futures were down as much as 210. So being frank, the just looking at the Dow, and that's certainly not my favorite index, but they've cut losses by two-thirds, so I don't know if rhetoric's going to cool down or if it's just short covering or what. The news doesn't look too good to me.
No, and the guy that was just the economic guy, he's quitting.
Right, you're right. Hassett.
And he's the guy that, was he the one who was on the thing this week about how okay it was to try and cover up McCain's name on the ship?
I don't know if that, wasn't he like the White House chairman of the Economic Council
or
something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it was him as far as the McCain ship or not. I don't know that.
Yeah, I'm not positive on that one either. But he said it's an okay request. As the president doesn't want it there, why shouldn't somebody? Well, he said why shouldn't somebody in the president's advance team say to move it if you know he doesn't like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I really don't know if it was him or not.
Move that mountain. The president doesn't like it. It's like a very very bizarre. But if we start getting some agricultural hurt. Now we're talking about people beating up on the Fed at the exact same time as
We just got a PCE number, the highest one we've had in years, at 0.3%. So the Fed is going to be cutting rates right in the teeth of tariff-caused inflation.
Yeah, it's gold, once it gave up 1,300 front-month future and the downside, it looked like it was going to 1,220, 1,230, and it bottomed wherever, 1,265, 1,270, and now back over. And I don't think round numbers are a big deal, but, you know, what should have been good support, 1,300, should have been good resistance, and it sliced through that like crazy. Now, of course, we have to move to look at the August contract. But nevertheless, I mean, you know, off some of these numbers, gold seems to be catching a bid.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of it, as you know, and I managed to get Friday.
I congratulate you for holding on, because, I mean, I have a just as pure hedges, very, very small amounts of some of the mining ETFs and customers.
Well, that's what I have.
Virtually nothing. But I congratulate you for having the heart to hold on. The technicals looked awful.
Was it heart or was it stubbornness? Or the fact that I had puts?
You have to tell me that.
Well, the fact that I had puts.
Right.
But here's the problem, Dave. When you know, everybody knows, I'm full disclosure. When you have puts on something, if you're selling the calls to mitigate the cost of insurance, you know, it's okay. When you just have the put side, you're gonna degrade. But I didn't really want to sell, you know, 21.5 calls in here. I thought for a while that this might happen. That all of a sudden people are gonna wake up and say, "Wow, it's gold! look at what's happening here!" And you know, between the currencies and the central banks now, and the dollar was so strong that all I had to do really is turn around. Because when you look at gold prices, and, you know, it's hard to explain this, but I mean, really, I mean, gold hasn't gone up the last 2 days in terms of the yen, has it? Just the dollar,
right?
So it's one versus the other, and that's the thing.
Yeah, well, when the markets get crazy, you know, they seek haven status. I don't know why the yen with even lower interest rates, and, you know, they certainly have their own debt issues and whatever, is looked at as a haven currency, but it is. It used to be the Swiss. And to an extent, the Swiss franc still is, but not like it was.
It's so high. I mean, it's been so high for so long. How do you buy it, Swiss franc?
Well, it's basically a parity. And, I mean, if you look back, let me just put up a long-term chart. I mean, believe it or not, I mean, this is looking back, but in 2014, you were at 120. You spiked when they changed the relationship of the Swiss to the Euro. I don't know if you remember that. It was back in 2011.
Well,
so I'm talking old history, 8 years ago. It was 140.
What I'm saying, after just saying what I said, they spiked it. It's gone up in terms of the Euro.
Right. That it has, yes.
Yeah. Because I remember us talking about people that have... like mortgages in Poland that are based on the Swiss franc were getting destroyed.
Right.
You know, in some of those areas. But no, you're right about that. But it just kind of goes with what I was just saying. It's up in relation to what? I mean,
right.
Not so much the dollar, but if you had Swiss franc versus Euro, you've done exceptionally well.
Right.
But I'm wondering if I hope I'm wrong here, Dave. We've had a succession of people on, Carl and Wayne and everybody talking about, Are we reaching a point where there's enough kind of bad stuff going on that I think we're more than a tweet away from everything's okay. We might be 10 tweets away from that. The people, and you're starting to hear more and more people on TV saying that they don't believe that the market, Morgan Stanley's been banging this gong for a month now, that they don't think that the market is reflecting enough of what's actually happened. It's still afraid of the upside.
Well, it depends what is going to happen. I mean, you know, a little over a month ago when we poked out highs in S&P and NASDAQ, I mean, just by a little bit, and there was no depth, so I'm not saying it was a quality rally, but everyone was convinced that the tariffs would do nothing and they'd be, you know, Xi and Trump would play around the golf and everything would be great. Now it's, you know, everything's going to 25% on everything, and Mexico's going to go to 25%, and who knows what's going to happen with India and Australia, and who knows where else we'll turn. So, you know, I'm not saying that the market is wrong, but, you know, the crowd and the pundits and the talking heads are very well wrong. So I'm not trying to make a bullish case because I can, you know, see the scenario, and we talked, you know, last week that, you know, hey, the technicals are there for the S&P to go at least another 90, 95 handles down. It's there. It's right in front of you. Will it happen? It depends on, you know, how much of this plays out and what is translated into slower growth, not just domestically but foreign.
Well, if ever you want to lose money, all you have to do is think for a second that you know what the market's handicapping and what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's impossible to figure out, especially in this day of, you know, dark holes and algorithms yeah. and whatever, you know, over an hour, a day, 2 days, even 5 days, you know, that's really driving the market to a great extent. The momentum gets going, and you don't know what the market's factoring in and what it isn't.
But I would, if you just follow the news, which again is, again, you know, a zero-sum game, generally, the news through this whole mess, when I say the news, the opinions of the talking heads.
Right.
All the way through was, don't pay any attention to any kind of sell-off or anything like that, or any of the news. Trump needs this to work out perfectly or declare victory probably by, you know, this summer, because we're talking about the election's only a year away from where we are now. This is a few months ago. But by the end of the summer, no matter what, there's going to be some deal that he's going to declare a winner, just like he did with the, you know, the new NAFTA, which, you know, probably didn't change very much, but, and, you know, who knows who read the damn thing still, but now they're voting on it. So, but there's going to be, the idea was, if you sell this in the hole, you're going to get it stuck where the sun don't shine, because one of these days he's going to look at the market and he's going to say, okay, we're all fixed. And there maybe have been, I'm going to say, in most people's minds, a 10 to 20% chance that we would continue, I'll use the term, down the rat hole. Now, fast forward 3-4 months, and what the people on, some of the people now are saying, the market is now handicapping like a 30% chance of a long-term problem here. And actually, the chance is more like 55 or 60. Because with the increasing insults between us and China, and now the China saying we can't even deal with this guy because the deal changes every day and he's not even good for his word, that put things on a whole new level, I think.
Well,
they're debating.
The Mexican thing really, you know, it caught the market by surprise.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It surely caught me by surprise. When you're sending somebody, your chief trade advisor, Lighthizer, to the Hill to push this USMCA and get it done, force it through Congress and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And one day later, that was last Thursday, Friday, you raise tariffs on Mexico, who purportedly, I don't know anything about the USMCA either, but all the pundits who supposedly have read it said that Mexico was backing off a lot of the things that were changed from the NAFTA, that they were agreeable. Hey, let's get this done and move on. One day later, you slap them for something that really has nothing to do with economics or very little to do with the immigration situation. I mean, that really does change the game. And so, like I said, and I'm trying to be friendly to the market because all the technicals are really getting extended, and, you know, you don't want to catch a falling knife, but, you know, you also don't want to sell the market in the hole. So I'm trying to lean towards the positive side. But when you see stuff like that, it's awfully difficult.
You could have asked me Thursday night to write down 100 things that could cause the market to go crap out on Friday morning, and you could have said 500 things. I would never have said tariffs on Mexico.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
I can't, unless you were totally an insider. I mean, supposedly there was very little consultation. He you know, took a plane ride with a guy who's really anti-Mexico who convinced him, and the next day he did it. I mean, that's the story. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, that seems to be a common theme, that the last guy he talks to is the one. But I don't see, I can't even imagine that ratcheting up to 25. I don't even know how you do that. Are we even set up to do that, Dave? I mean, let me ask you this. A pickup comes this
emergency
way.
Emergency presidential powers, supposedly, 1974 Act.
Yeah, I was reading that, and most of the time that's That's for embargoes and stuff. It's not usually used for tariffs.
It's certainly not for immigration.
No, I mean, so what if, how do you even calculate, I mean, I don't know how to do this. So somebody there's a Silverado pickup comes back. Do you get to deduct, like, the stuff that went this way to that way? It's in the thing?
And supposedly some of those cars and trucks and auto parts, for that matter, they go over the border, and then they go back into Mexico, and then they come back in, I don't know, of adjustment or retooling, or I have no clue as to what the actual, you know, mechanization is, but supposedly some of these, before they're finally delivered to the U.S. consumer, travel back and forth 2, 3, 4 times. So do you get a tariff each and every time it crosses? I mean, it's bizarre.
Well, yeah, I mean, the details, I mean, are dramatic. They had one of the ladies who does the kind of some investigative stuff for CNBC last week said it went a big container shipment. How many containers those things hold, David? It's like, what, 4,000 or some huge number? Those big new container ships.
I don't really know.
But it's like $15 million a ship is the tariff hit.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous. You know, from what we calculated when this first started airing, you know, so, okay, you know, $200 million and, you know, China and 10% of that, $20 billion, you know, whatever, or $200 billion, $20 billion, what's that amongst friends? It's a pimple, but this thing has absolutely festered itself and gotten very pervasive.
Well, I mean, the Chinese are... You know, they must be hiring people over here too that are pretty good at the spin, and right away they're zeroing in on, well, now you know why we're walking away from deals. You can't make a deal with this guy. It changes by the day,
right?
And you know, and the people here are sitting going, really? I mean, even if you're an ardent supporter, you got to be sitting there going, man, you know, maybe these guys are right. I mean, what? Anyway.
Yeah, I think this. I mean, unless it was factored into the market before. I mean, maybe, you know, I mean, the Dow's been lower for 6 straight weeks. Maybe there was inside information. Maybe there was, you know, leaks and this and that and the other. And the lower prices, you know, have already reflected this. But just on the surface, and again, maybe it's old news. Maybe we're the last of the party to know. To me, this Mexico thing changes the game.
I think it does a little bit, too. And I was kind of agreeing with you that I thought we were down enough for a while. Not down enough if things, you know, kept getting worse, but not down enough. I thought we were down enough that we would firm up. I thought we'd be up Friday for sure. I mean, after firming up a little on Thursday.
He caught everybody.
Yeah, he caught everybody. But I was real happy with, you know, the fact that I ran my gold up on expiration day. I had some calls that we paid for a time spread for 7 cents, and They were long dead, David. I managed to get 9 cents for them Friday. I never dreamed I was going to, you know, scratch those things, much less make a couple of cents. I mean, I was thinking, boy, where did that come from?
Right.
Of course, they traded 25 cents after I sold them, but I won't say that, but, even though I just did. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if we start getting to a point where everybody's convinced now that the saving grace is the Fed cutting rates. I tell you what, David, if the Fed cuts rates a half a point, in 4 months from now, it does no good. That's when you better grab your puts.
Well, maybe even before that. I mean, the market's factoring in, I think, a half a point by December, 87%. You know, if it was because inflation was very low, which, you know,
yeah,
gold's not suggesting that, at least now, and we don't believe that even when gold was at 1270.
Right,
but it's because of global growth and especially domestic growth, and you won't have to wait. The market's going to sell that.
Yeah, I think we are kind of in the and people have this view that, you know, 5, 6, 7% is the farthest down we can go. No. I mean, no, we can go a lot further. If I hope we don't. I mean, I've got a lot of people long, and there's a lot of people that are.
It depends how it gets there.
Yeah.
I mean, if it let's just say for sake of argument, because the target is, you know, 2650, so like another 90 handles, 95 handles, another 3-4%. If it's straight down, then I got to think down there or maybe a little bit you know, through there, because everyone's talking about that as a target on the S&P, then I'd say, hey, that's probably enough. But if there's some consolidation or a few, you know, dead cat bounces to the upside, and then it gets there, then you could go further.
Well, I mean, where do we think, with all the money that's poured in, and the Fed doing their things for years, and if we go in any kind of a, I mean, I have no idea how to value Apple in the middle of this game a little bit. I mean, we've got potential antitrust actions against Google, and it's down $35 this morning. I'm not sure I would put a client in there. I have no idea where that's going. I mean, there's some uncertainty here on some of this stuff. Caterpillar, my guess would be, down from 220 to 160, or it's 159.80. I gotta believe that's far enough, David. I don't know, maybe not, but it sure seems
supposedly
to be. Like,
only, I can't tell you the percentage of revenue that they get, but supposedly the profit that Caterpillar gets directly from China. Now I can't speak, you know, India and Australia and all the other places, but supposedly it's less than 10%. So they're not anywhere near as exposed as like Boeing or, you know, Apple or some of the others.
What do you make of this? The latest thing with Boeing, that they got more issues with this 737.
Yeah, now a wing thing.
I think that these guys were really out on their skis and making this plane allegedly. You know, it was a brand new plane, damn near, and I don't think they ever marketed it as that. It was just the next one in a generation. But it's clearly a lot more new to this thing than.
Well, the software. I mean, it's like anything else. We don't drive cars with steering wheels, brakes, and gas pedals. We're driving computers. But there, you're taking people's lives up in the air, you know, 35,000 feet or whatever they go. And you know, if there's a software issue that's out of control of the pilot, then you got a real problem.
Well, I also think the plane itself, with the new wing and the engines in a different spot and everything, I think the plane is appreciably enough different to where, it should be viewed more as a new plane, and B, I think the guys that fly it should have been on a simulator and stuff for a while.
Right.
But anyway, David, I have a read here. Luckbox Magazine, the Guide to Money and Probability, is available on newsstands, $7.99 an issue. But Stocks and Jocks listeners get a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com and then just /jocks, where you can go from our website. Interesting new sponsor and a new guest, and he'll be on again tomorrow. Jeff Joseph, he was on last week. First day, he was great. And David, thank you. What do you have a prediction here? We're only down four now. I think we popped into the plus at one point.
Maybe just a little bit of a short covering rally. I don't really have a prediction, and there's really only one place to sell around 2,800, and the futures hit 2,799, and there's nowhere to buy until 2,650.
So we're sort of never land.
Yeah.
The NASDAQ futures down 21.75. Be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
I never say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays.
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.